Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
How much time am I spending with my friends, or how much pressure are they putting on me to be a certain type of friend? Is that pulling me away from my purpose? Am I allowing my social life, the pressures of my social life, the pressures of sustaining my good time and my loving side of my friendships? Am I allowing that to pull me or distract me from my purpose?
Yeah.
And how important is that balance? Am I sacrificing these relationships on behalf of this purpose? And now, is that purpose worthy of such a sacrifice?
I don't necessarily believe in balance when it comes to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cause I'm a very literal a lot of times. And you think about things being in balance, that means on either side of the scale, there is equal force.
Yes.
So nothing happens.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
The force has to increase or decrease for there to be movement. And I think there's always constant movement. In the moment that I don't feel movement, I get nervous.
Yeah.
Right. Or I get comfortable.
They tried to count me out. I'ma gonna count me in. Fill up my bank account. Now I got something to spend.
Accountability. Welcome to the Dear Son Show. We have meaningful conversations about life through the lens of fatherhood. For fathers, those with fathers, and the fatherless. Nobody's left out. These are the conversations we want our sons to access as they grow through life in the manhood. So no topics are off limits. I'm one of your humble hosts, D. Johns.
I'm your other host, James Johnson.
James Johnson.
Johnson.
In the building. Yeah. How you feeling, my brother?
I'm good, man. I'm good. A lot of stuff that need to be moving has been moving, so I feel good, man. It's weather changing. I'm absolutely thankful for that. What about you?
How
you
sweater feeling? Weather, man. I welcome it. I welcome it, man. It's been an interesting week. We had an eventful last 7 days.
Yeah.
Parts of it are more private than appropriate for this podcast, I had an aha moment yesterday. And we were just talking about before we started, God is still in the blessing business.
Yes. Oh,
absolutely.
Yes.
Had a bunch of work done to my daughter's car to the tune of that equates with a bunch of work being done.
It better. Yeah. Right.
Bunch of work being done. It's one of those things where part of it was frustration.
Yeah.
That the car was in the state that it was in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Tires, ball, brakes, metal to metal. The other piece of that is I should have been a little bit more diligent,
I guess.
I took it to the shop probably a month ago and it wasn't in that condition.
Right.
But, you know, I knew it needed brakes. So I took it to get brakes.
Yeah.
They pulled the wheels off and it was like, this, that, and the third is going on. It's wrong. Right. So as the price mounted, you know, a little bit of frustration, but thankful that, we can actually do this.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. We get the car from the shop. Sits outside for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter goes to school Tuesday this week. She drives her to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how did it ride?
Right.
She was like, it was fine, but I came in the house, you on the phone. I didn't want to interrupt you, but it started doing something when I pulled into the street.
Yeah.
So honestly, in my mind, I'm thinking like, what did you do? Unfair. Right.
Right.
So
right.
I got out there and drive it. I'm like, wait a minute. It sounded like the brakes was put on putty.
Like, wait a minute.
Like everything. I said, it sounded like the brakes was put on with putty and somebody dropped their gold chain in the wheel somewhere.
Hold that thought.
Yeah. So we drive it back to the shop cautiously. And It's a growth thing for me because I went in there civil.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I wasn't always like that.
Mm-mm.
So I went in there, especially because this was a safety issue.
With my daughter.
With my daughter.
Yeah.
Right? So long story less long, they reevaluated the work.
Right.
Called me back later that day. And that was the other thing. They said they're going to pull it right in and we were going to pick up the kids. So this was pushing 2:30,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we couldn't stay there. We had to get back and get the kids from school. And they called me about 6:30 and said, your car's all ready. We got everything done. And I said, cool, what time you close? They said, we're closed, but we'll wait for you. So I go up there and pick it up. And I said, what happened?
Yeah, please.
She said, do you want me to go get the mechanic? Absolutely, I got time. Mechanic comes out and he's like nervous.
Right, right.
Because he did the work. Like it just
the first
happened,
time.
Yeah, it just happened to be him. He was like, so somehow the caliper backed out and this led to that and the wheel was coming off of this. Like the wheel was, I probably shouldn't have drove it to the place. Like the wheel was going to come off.
Right, right, right.
And she's telling me, you know, you had a broken lug now, we replaced that, we're not going to charge you. I'm like, lady,
don't do this.
This is not even a conversation
don't do this.
Charging me anything for anything else. But he was remorseful.
Yeah.
But like he was confused. He was like, I said, how does this not happen again? Because if you did everything you did the first time, he was like, this time I made sure I checked the torque readings. I set the torque wrench, everything was tightened down. I drove it around.
Right.
You're good. And she drove it today and she was good. But I was just like, man, all the anger that I had waiting to unload, I need to be thankful that my daughter's alive.
Man.
Didn't run into anything. And she said it only started happening as she was about to turn on the street. So thank God for that.
Thank God for that. That's a blessing.
Thank God for that. So,
That is. Listen.
One of them weeks.
And that's not to get in a hurry, but that ties in.
Sure.
It ties in into what we're talking about today. Today, we're talking about purpose under pressure. Purpose under pressure. And initially, you'll hear pressure, and sometimes human nature will want to automatically default to something negative.
Right.
We didn't put a definition on pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Pressure is pressure.
Yeah.
Purpose under pressure. Would you, first off, what's your perspective on purpose under pressure?
It's my life. It's right down to day and right down the clock.
Yeah.
Because we never know who's coming into the journey, I'll reference, I just had my 1 year entrepreneur-versary or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So October 3rd was my last day in corporate 2022.
Yeah.
And at the time of this recording, it's a few days after that in 2023. And it's been the waves.
Yeah.
Like I will say if those that have listened to the other episodes know where we were this summer, we were in a thing coming out of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now the pressure is performance. Before the pressure was money because I mismanaged some things. I was a little too slow to react to some things that I saw coming just out of pride and ego.
Right, right.
But now God is answering the prayers of, here you go. I'm like, ooh, are my systems in place?
Yeah.
I've been talking about getting help and I really need help. Now I have to have it.
Right. Right?
So these things are pushing me. The pressure is pushing me to where I need to be. But it's also a little bit, I'm a little apprehensive.
Yeah.
In general. I'm not gonna say scared, but it's like the nervous butterflies. Before you shoot a free throw, before you get up to battle, or whatever it is in football, whatever y'all
right.
do. When a running back do the thing with the thing. But yeah, that's where I'm at. How did it, because this was your thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's a dual meaning, but to stick to the topic, it was more of a something circling back around. And what I mean is there's a lot of things I am addressing now in this phase of my life that some would view as, hey, you were supposed to do that 2 phases ago,
gotcha.
Earlier. For the prime example, school. I'm back in school right now. Well, obviously, I gave school a shot earlier in my life, walked away from it for several reasons. One reason was financial opportunity presented itself.
Mm-hmm.
So all too well. I know a lot of people know that story all too well, where, hey, man, I was in school. I convinced myself I'm in school to get this degree to make this type of money. However, money this cap. Type of money has already presented itself. Should I stay in school?
Right.
Well, now we've mentioned in past episodes, if you don't get a lesson, that lesson gonna represent itself.
Spin the block.
Spin the block. You either got that lesson the first time and now you're going to pass this refresher.
Yeah.
Or you about to get that lesson this time. Well, lo and behold, it's kind of showing its head again here lately, especially. There's a lot of transitions and moves and things that we're in the middle of in my household, financially, with business expansions, et cetera, where now school is kind of an inconvenience. Even with the show, the network, there's a lot of opportunities presenting themselves. And now school is, I dare not call it a hindrance, but it's certainly in the way. But I can't buy into school being in the way,
yeah,
because of the purpose that I set for myself of why I went back to school. So now being mindful of what that purpose is. So now when these outside forces start acting on you, acting on the situation, acting on that purpose, now that purpose is under pressure. So now, do you say, hey, let me pause school and let me go make this money, or let me grow these opportunities, this network, this fellowship? These gentlemen are talking, hey, now y'all need to come on so we can go do this.
Yeah.
Well, hold on a minute. You know what I mean?
I think the beauty of it that just hit me because of where I am in the phase, mm-hmm, is the confusion when you're in it.
Yeah.
Like you're not knowing, like it's all good challenges to have.
Yeah.
What you just presented are all great challenges.
Right.
I think the coolest part about it is when you get beyond it and see how they all work together because you stuck through it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
When you start putting things off and you said the lesson has to come back around, the lesson gonna come back around. Oof. It just may be putting off the coming together of all the things if you put some more space and time. Versus like trying to, I guess, thug through it or push through it.
Thug through it and push through.
Because right. I felt like that in my career, man. I spent the first few years of my career, mm-hmm, frustrated.
Man.
Right? But all of it literally came together around year 9 or 10. I was able to have conversations. I was able to explain things. I was able to connect the dots on certain things.
Yeah.
Where other people didn't have that specific experience. But I was able to draw on it and it made sense. So I think it'll be... And the network ain't going nowhere.
which also heightens your value. It intensifies it. It makes you that much more valuable, but you didn't even know it. You didn't know you were getting these gems and gemstones to put in your bag, mm-hmm, to where it's later like, I think I got something for that. Hold on a minute. And you can dig in your bag and come out with a solution. The big part is, let's focus. We'll split this up. Let's focus on purpose, mm-hmm, because that's very important. There's a different reason for the types of movements that this is a father's show. Let's stick to that perspective. There are decisions we have to make as fathers, as the heads of our households. Debate that on your own. But there's a structure here that we function in that space. Our families and our households have signed up and accept that space as well. So from the standpoint of head of household, man of the house, making decisions on behalf of your family, mm-hmm, the importance of being aware of the purpose. How important or necessary, or do you even see the necessity in, I'm aware of what the purpose is. I'm aware of perhaps how many purposes I have and I'm trying to serve at one time.
Yeah.
How much of that purpose do you feel necessary to share with the household or share with my wife, but not necessarily go beyond that? It's just me and my wife discussing the purpose. How much of the purpose needs to trickle down through the children?
Yeah.
The purpose of the household. And I know that was a lot and a lot of parts to it, but address that part for me, the significance of the purpose.
Yeah, it was, it's as timely as all other conversations have proven to be, literally over the weekend.
Man.
we had a conversation with two of our children about what they're seeing from us as parents, right? And how they interpret what they're seeing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So are we spending enough time? Are we asking the right questions? Are we reading their body language and their facial expressions the right way? And the answer was no, in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like intentional negligence. It was, we're so busy trying to get down this path to do these things for our family that we were kind of slacking,
right.
lacking a little bit.
Right.
And that's kind of what this platform is, right? This platform is not about us being professional parents.
Right, right.
It's about us being relevant examples to a community that can kind of take our lived experiences and either work through how it resonates and cause some different conversations or avoid some stuff. So very honest on this platform that I don't get parenting right all the time.
Man.
Fatherhood.
I know I don't.
Being a husband is a whole nother story. I don't know which one I get wrong more or right less. You know what I'm saying? But it was, I know the timing makes sense because we're at this conversation.
Yeah.
But I had to explain the pressure that I was feeling that I didn't know I was demonstrating. That my actions were giving them a different dad without the explanation.
Man.
So I said, hey, your father hasn't had a job in a year.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So there are things and opportunities that I chase, you know, because they're like, you know, people in our house, recording and all this stuff. And I was like, this is part of the process.
Right.
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 These are the things that are income generating or leading to income and opportunities that are going to sustain the house.
Yes.
You guys haven't missed a beat in the last year.
Right.
You might have noticed some things are different. Like there was a couple months we didn't eat out 3 times a week,
right.
which we shouldn't be anyway.
Right, right.
But it was an opportunity to explain where we were in life, and they were thankful.
Yeah.
And it was like emotional.
Right.
Like, we don't like where we see this going.
Yeah.
Like that, right? Because that was, they had a limited range or access to, they weren't privy to a lot of what was happening to understand. And because they're at a certain age, the conversation made sense to them. So they didn't feel, it didn't invalidate their feelings.
Yeah.
Or we didn't say, you shouldn't feel like this, because we said, unaware.
Unaware.
Unaware, or at least unaware how it was impacting you. Right? And there were things that they started bringing up, and I was like, oh, I guess I did miss that.
That reaction, those reactions, did that make you feel or want to have had the conversation sooner? Or did that make you feel like there should have been, or you would have liked to have maybe had a different approach to where you would have avoided it? Or if to do it again, it was necessary the way you did it and would do it again and still have the conversation on the back end of it?
It wasn't rethinking how we did it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mark in time of how we will do it going forward.
Yeah.
Right. So it was, like I said, if it was malicious and I knew, like, in my spirit, I'm avoiding this thing.
Yeah.
Like intentionally, then I would have those regrets. But sometimes I keep it at me. I take for granted that things are okay because they look okay.
Yeah.
Or because
yeah.
the last time I asked, they were okay.
Right.
But children of every age have life happen to them every day too.
Yeah.
So the things like I wasn't expected to spend an amount on a vehicle over the weekend, but that's life.
It is.
So I had to pick how to adjust to it. They have things that are equally impactful, may not be as monumental to us or of the same significance,
right.
but we can't necessarily negate how they feel when life happens to them.
Yes.
So part of it was, now I will say, at certain points of the conversation, I felt the old me kind of rearing his head, like, how you, and that was another thing that we talked about, was the access to, I don't know if access is the right, the what am I trying to say? The willingness mm-hmm. to have certain conversations, parent to child.
Yes.
Wasn't necessarily a conversations that were happening when I was a child.
Right.
And I explained that to him. Right. And it was, as I felt the frustration going, I was like, honestly, right now, I'm trying to avoid popping off. Because of how you presented the information, I know you don't see it.
Right.
Because this household is different from my reference household, and that's on me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that the reference was wrong and this is right or vice versa.
It's just different.
It's different.
For its own reason.
And I have that information.
Yeah.
So it's for me to manage that delta, and I wasn't doing that. But just them understanding my perspective,
mm-hmm.
and for full context, like this is my 16 and my 20-year-old.
Yeah.
So they're of an age that, you know, you kind of make sense.
Right.
And there was some emotion. And I'm like, you know, after we got through the conversation, as calmly as I'm talking now, I just want to point out.
Yeah.
Mind your tone. And their response was, I didn't even realize I was that tone. So I said, boom. The same way I didn't realize I was not addressing these things. Again, it's not making it right.
Right, right.
But you're of an age where you can actually understand where these things happen in life. So it was a very productive conversation. It was tough.
Yes.
Because this was like at midnight.
And that exposes the importance of these conversations, which that's the portion that I'm glad to hear and I'm drawn to, because there's a lot of things that we'll press through. Like, I got to keep going. I got to keep moving. I can't stop the check. I can't stop to make myself aware of what the shortcomings are, when in actuality, you must.
You must.
Because if you do not, it's only deteriorating. So now you'll kind of be like what my uncle said one day. I have an uncle who was in a career his entire life from the time he was old enough to be in that industry and making ridiculous amounts of money. And one day just walked away. And I asked him, like, what happened? He said, man, I took a sneak break off from work that my family didn't know anything about, came home for my son's birthday. I bought him a chocolate cake, only to find out my son hates chocolate cake. He was like, and that was the key indicator to me that I was completely out of touch with my household. And as a teenager, when I got that story, I remember thinking to myself, he crazy. Walked away from all of that bread, talking about my cousin don't like chocolate cake. Oh, well, go find out what cake he eat and go get it. I missed the message.
Yeah.
Looking back now, as a dad that make these same mistakes, it's just like they tell you, keep living. A lot of the purpose that our parents had, we were unaware of as children. We were unaware of the pressures.
Completely.
So now when you're having these pressures applied to your purposes that you're trying to make sure that they're maintained in your household. And then if you have a conversation, you're blessed enough to have your parents around, your dad around, and then you have that conversation with them, and then they're able to speak into you things that you're dealing with before you even make it to the part of the conversation where you're telling them what you're dealing with. Now it becomes evident that, man, but let's think about if those conversations were had, would I be dealing with my pressures better now? This is one thing for you to be able to relate and come back.
Pressures had when we were children or
no,
earlier?
No, they were dealing with as in our childhood that we're perhaps now as adults, as fathers, mm-hmm. dealing with that same level of pressure. But maybe if that information was shared or that purpose or that tactic was shared with us at a who knows when, but prior to my first exposure to it is me going through it.
Right.
If I would have gotten it. And that's not a critique on those fathers or those dads or parents. But like you said, we came up in an era where we weren't privy to certain amounts of information. That just wasn't our place. Where now we have a more hands-on approach with our family and our children to say, hey, listen, let me bring y'all up to speed on some things and check in on some input. So I appreciate that conversation.
I think the other piece of us not being privy when we were the children is also parents not either not knowing or having access to the tools or knowing it's okay to actually feel that way.
Right.
Right. How to work through those feelings. A lot of it was just masked.
Man.
Right. Especially like my dad, I missed several 60 or so episodes ago. This is episode 80 plus.
Yeah.
But when his dad died, he was telling me the story and I just kind of eased the question in there at the end. I said, did you grieve?
Man.
He said, I don't think I have. And this
to
was
this day.
Yeah. My dad is, he'll be 70. He'll be 75 in a few weeks. And his dad died when my father was 20-ish, 21. Wow. We're talking 50 plus years.
Without grieving.
And he said it so matter-of-factly, like, nah, move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oof. And I realized I'm like that. I got a very weird relationship with death.
Man.
It's people pass in the family and I feel like I should cry and I can't. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And it's not like I'm lacking emotion, but that doesn't necessarily evoke the emotion because of how I saw my dad deal with death.
Right.
I don't think he cried at his mom. I couldn't cry at his mom's funeral either. She was 99.
Right.
So
right,
it was,
right.
I mean, it was, and I had a whole lot of life with her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was, I say that to say that creeps into various parts of my life because you start to justify it that, well, if I'm not crying at this critical point,
man,
how dare I cry,
man,
because I don't know how I'm gonna pay the mortgage.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You just tough through
it's
it.
It's a callous.
Callous, right? And then that callous becomes character. So it's not even a thing that you're trying or you're avoiding. That becomes who you are.
Man.
And that's what I realized when my kids over the week. I was like, I've drifted back into parts of phases of my life that I thought I'd outgrown or that I managed through.
I'm dealing with the same issue, but in the manner of my temper. Mm. I've been speaking on that a lot lately, and I almost thought that because I was speaking on it so much, I talked myself back into it. That's a mind game, a mind play on yourself. You have to be honest with yourself. My temper has been edgier than I would prefer for it to be. And a lot of it has to do with my purpose being under pressure. Yeah. These pressures are coming.
Yeah.
And I have methods and means of dealing with these pressures. However, pressure bust pipes, as they say, right? So now you're trying to balance family life. You're trying to be a husband. You're trying to be a dad. You're trying to be responsible. You're trying to also say, hey, what about social life? You know, when the last time have I called my brother like, hey, man, let's sit down and just chop it up. What we doing? I was talking to, I said the same thing to you and Adrian, our other neighbor, talked to him, said the same thing. I called him one day like, man, we still neighbors?
Right.
You know, and we laughed about it because he has, you know, he in his grind.
Yep.
So I want to speak to the pressure side a little bit. There's this book that I've been working through, and I'm a horrible reader. I'll read, but my mind changed channels so much. I'll read and then I'm out. I'm on something else.
All audio books for me.
Right. And this is audio. And I've been listening to this audio book for about 2 years now. And I'm on chapter 8. Don't judge me. So I'm on chapter 8 though. So now within this book, it speaks on energy. And I don't want to give it away because it's very, it's critical. However, it's very important that we get an understanding of the energy that we put out, the energy that we receive has a lot to do with how our lives are built day to day.
I believe that more now.
Yes, me too. And my temper now being in a state of making me uncomfortable with it reinforces. Because it's one thing to be a certain way and then you don't understand why you're that way. But when you start to understand how the forces of energy and atmosphere and the universe actually really truly is built to operate, and then you start analyzing yourself from that perspective, stuff start making sense to you to where you laugh at yourself. It's like having a tool to fix something
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now you have an understanding of the tool, but you just won't use it. And
I get that.
So you're in your own way at that point. You have the knowledge to fix it. You have the tools to fix it. But yet, because it being broken is your familiar territory, you're not taking the necessary steps to fix that thing.
Yeah.
I have that issue in easily three areas of my life right now. So those three areas, because I'm operating in the familiar territory of lack or failure or less than what it could be, and I'm allowing that thing to resonate in that space, now those areas aren't as great as they could be. By some standards, that's amazing. But me knowing my capabilities and what I can do is still subpar. And that's unacceptable. So the importance and the diligence, if you will, of addressing that pressure,
mm-hmm.
staying focused on your purpose. So now moving forward, we've covered understanding, okay, I have this purpose. We've covered, I've shared this purpose with my household. We've covered when that purpose comes under pressure. Let's focus now on good pressures, bad pressures, which means relationships, interactions, friendships. Friendships, the level of how much time am I spending with my friends, or how much pressure are they putting on me to be a certain type of friend? Is that pulling me away from my purpose? Am I allowing my social life, the pressures of my social life, the pressures of sustaining my good time and my loving side of my friendships, am I allowing that to pull me or distract me from my purpose?
Yeah.
And how important is that balance? Am I sacrificing these relationships on behalf of this purpose? And now is that purpose worthy of such a sacrifice? That's a lot, but I wanted to get all of that out there. How important is that social pressure as it pertains to your purpose?
So I don't necessarily believe in balance when it comes to a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I'm a very literal a lot of times. And you think about things being in balance, that means on either side of the scale, there is equal force.
Yes.
So nothing happens. happens.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
The force has to increase or decrease for there to be movement. And I think there's always constant movement. In the moment that I don't feel movement, I get nervous.
Yeah.
Right. Or I get comfortable. More nervous now, early in life, comfortable because, ooh.
Everything cool. Must
yeah,
be good.
Yeah, cool, 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 cool. Don't rock the boat for no reason. With that, I'm in a phase now where I get the term friend, but you've been around me enough to know that I say somebody's family or I just don't say.
Right. That's you know a fact. It's that's like, a fact.
No, this is family. This is this person. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that there's not room for friends, but for me, it's another thing that came out in conversation to help my kids understand me. I said, I'm more of a loner.
Yeah.
My whole life. I'm the youngest of two kids. My sister and I were 5 years apart. So my perspective is the young child that didn't really have a close relationship with my sister because of the age difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like she had her friends. I had my friends. It wasn't necessarily appropriate for me at 12 to hang with her and her friends at 17.
Correct.
She goes to college. She comes back. We have a better understanding of each other, but we're not hanging out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yep.
So with my friends, the people that are in my circle, they now understand that when D go quiet, he's working on something.
Right. Right.
Or working through something, either way. And I am guilty of not allowing them to be there or support sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, I'm like, let me just get low and get through this.
Yeah.
I don't want to give the people opportunity to disappoint me.
Man.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like,
yeah.
Especially if I've been holding all this in and I come to you with something that's deep and meaningful to me and you like, oh, put the game on. You know what I'm saying? Now we no longer, you know, it shouldn't be that way. But now I'm like, is this still my brother now? Like how, and it could just be miscommunication, but I go from, what's your boy say? Zero to 35 real quick. That's what your man say.
Don't give me a lip right now because we're going to talk about that.
That would just be a monologue.
No, we're going to get to that.
I guarantee
you. Cleaning that boy right there.
It'll be a monologue.
Because I'm hot about it.
And you can
No.
You can have the
I'm on your side right now.
I don't have a side because I ain't listen.
Yes, you do.
I haven't listened.
Well.
In 3 albums.
Well.
So there's that.
God.
Anywho, we can't do right for doing wrong, man. But the pressure, the people that I have close to me now.
Yeah.
When I have those conversations, I really trust that they're going to push me or give me a perspective that's going to keep pushing me toward it. We got another episode in the bank talking to our sons about how picking those friends early in life and comparing and contrasting where we were then and where we are now.
Absolutely.
But that friendship pressure, that inner circle pressure for me,
mm-hmm.
I only use it for the good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The social aspect of life right now. Bro, when we had the conversation that I referenced earlier,
mm-hmm.
I was already in the bed. And the conversation started at 11 p.m. They came in with something on their heart. I'm like, it was another dynamic. I was like, do you want to talk?
Yeah.
Right. So it was, but I've abandoned social for the sake of saying I'm somewhere. Like it needs to be meaningful. Now we overdue by about 8 months.
And about to cash in. Jack.
About 8 months.
Tis the season.
So those things are important.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then especially thinking about call back to another brother that was like less a story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like what if that was an opportunity? We said, nah, not today. Or y'all said, nah, not today. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
That kind of thing. So I value those things differently. But I don't feel like I'm missing anything socially because of where I am right now, where my focus has to be because my purpose is under pressure.
Okay. I like that.
So for you, I wanted to go back to a point where you were talking about where you have the tool and you don't want to use it and kind of drifting back into the angry-er person that you were.
Yes.
What do you think it is? Like what's
uneasiness.
Okay, go ahead.
Uneasiness. And what I mean is I'm results driven. right? Gotcha. I'm a visual learner and I'm results driven. Like anything that I can do and I can see increments of completion,
yep,
that motivates me. So if I'm just throwing effort at a thing and by the standard of knowing through discipline, if you keep doing that thing, you'll look up one day and it's going to be fixed, complete, or in its place. I don't operate well with that. A lot of my struggles are built around things that you don't see immediate change. And financially, I've always migrated towards things where my aggression is rewarded quicker than not.
Gotcha.
You know, the more aggressive you are in certain industries or certain decisions you can make, it's feast or famine. But that's the downside. It's feast or famine. You know, I'll plow my way into an industry where if you're doing well, you're doing really well. But if you're at the mercy of the market or you're at the mercy of the industry, trucking, oil field, things of that nature, if they crash, a certain administration goes into the White House. All of those things affect these industries. So if I know how to squeeze the most out of these industries, but I'm at the mercy of outside forces acting upon it, right? So now me knowing, let's stick with that example. Let's say I know that and I see a change has just taken place. The tool is my knowledge base or my skill set in other industries or other things that I could have done. I'm gonna ride this thing out because this is what I know. It's comfortable. It takes no thought. I don't have to think twice to do anything dealing with logistics or transportation. I could do it with my eyes closed. That's a reason I need to get away from it, and did get away from it, though. I was no longer living, right? When you're getting up doing a thing and it takes no thought, it takes no effort, you're no longer living. Now you're a robot. I don't care how lucrative it is. If it does pay your bills and take care of the household, that's great. Don't just burn it. That can't be the only thing you're doing, though, because it takes no effort. It takes no thought. You're brain dead at that point.
Mm.
You're not stimulating any new brain cells. You're not struggling. You're not worried about how can I figure this thing out. So you're not stimulating your mind anymore. You're stagnant. You're just floating along through life waiting to pass away. That's my opinion. So now, because I'm in different areas and doing different things that aren't routine for me, so I'm getting caught being 10 minutes late for an appointment, or I'm double booked to talk to this guy about this business opportunity, but oh, I got this opportunity over here that I'm supposed to be doing as well. That's frustrating to me, but who I am and how I'm made, I can't pass on these opportunities. I'm gonna make both of these work. It's not necessary all the time. So now that creates the energy of anxiousness, the anxiety, the edginess, things not falling into place as quickly and as effortlessly as they typically do. Now it's taking more conversation or more coercion for this thing to happen. Your blood pressure go up a little bit, you know, yeah. You're antsy, you're edgy, which is good, but it's not healthy. So now a byproduct of that is my temper. I'm on edge because I'm ready to snap. I'm reevaluating all of these strangers that they're talking to me about these business decisions that need to be made. But because of how I'm made and the background I've come around, I have to vet everybody. What's your motivation? Why are you here? You're trying to get me, or are you trying to take me fast? Or are you giving me some old or stale information that benefits you, but it doesn't benefit the purpose? You see what I mean? So those are a lot of issues that I've been dealing with lately that I've allowed to push me into a state of being, I'm reacting to too many things. That's the other issue. I'm not doing enough of setting the tone. And if it don't fall into the tone, don't touch it. But because I'm so reactive, it's just like a ball. If I bounce a ping pong ball inside of a box and that box only has so much space in it, it's going to bounce and bounce and bounce and bounce. It's chaotic.
Mm.
That's how I can visualize my temper.
Man, I am still undoing some of the some of that corporate tone, mm-hmm. especially being in a leadership role, like where your time is valuable. And if you, especially being a person of color, being black, in an environment where you're truly the minority, like in the room, you know what I'm saying? And I felt like I always had to be on. I probably said that quite often, but because of that, I had to get good at evaluating things and people fast to know if I should invest my time. Mm-hmm. Now, as an entrepreneur building a business, I'm not gonna say you can't be so quick, but being so quick hasn't always been fruitful for me because I don't come with a stamp that gives people confidence in who I am.
Right.
In corporate, that was the title.
Right. Now,
people give you that respect and you could be an idiot, right? And lose it or not lose it.
Right.
But like, you don't have, there's no, here's who I am and a certain level of respect or respect for me or my title or my time off the rip.
Right.
So it's like cultivating these relationships. And that was the piece that I hated in the corporate was, like, I never played the game, but even just the social aspect of it. Like, bro, I've been here 10 hours. You want to go 3 hours to go hang out? I ain't not. But then I found myself doing it.
Yeah.
And that became the norm.
Yeah.
And then I was more frustrated because, like, I still got to be at work the next day. I still got to be on. So I'm glad you brought that up because that's something I need to work through in terms of giving people an opportunity, but before judging them. And I'm gonna say it's not judging, but it absolutely is.
It is. Judging. And it's hard not to, because time not on our side like that.
No.
I can't afford to wait 90 days to figure out you just wasted 90 of my days. Cause now I'm really aggravated.
And
the
next person's probably gonna pay for that, which is how it shouldn't be.
And it should not. Because now I'm rushing this person along, like, yeah, get to it. What's your pitch? What you got? What are you offering? What are you bringing to the table? And then once they prove their value, I feel a little bad because now I gotta back off it and kind of be like, well, listen, but it's understood, but at the same time, like you say, you can ruin an opportunity or brush off an opportunity or a relationship based on that. So that happens a lot.
That's a real thing. And I take this opportunity to make it plain to the audience, if it wasn't, that like these conversations that we're having, mm-hmm. like if you think they're drifting off from fatherhood or parenthood, like I said at the beginning, these are the conversations we want them to access. Like if we had access to these conversations or maybe more in depth or more frequently, we would be a lot further along,
absolutely.
Which means our families would be a lot further along. So it's about having these conversations, which some people may think are before their time.
Right.
But the time is not when you have both sets of data to compare.
Yeah.
Here's my data. I turned it into information. Here's the information. Use that how you will to live your life.
Please.
You don't have to go collect the same data points just because you're 14 and I'm 40. I don't want you. I want your path to be more informed, whether it's short or not. That's on you. But that's the purpose of these conversations. So it's not an excuse to talk about anything and everything. The purpose is to talk about any and everything,
as well as peer parenting.
Yeah.
Village. Yeah. You understand? Because if I'm able to tap into a resource and see what 9 other parents or 2 other parents or 1 other parent that has a teenager and they're dealing with an issue, and I'm able to listen to how they're dealing with it, like, man, I didn't know the teenagers were doing that. I need to be aware. This may be a conversation I need to go have with mine. Or I was at my wit's end with that very issue with mine. I like that idea. I just heard this person speak on. I'm going to try that or apply that. Or outside of everything we're doing has something to do with your parenting or your household. I promise you. It should.
If you can separate those, then maybe this is not the platform.
Man.
Or maybe this is the platform for you.
Because you're leaving. Yeah. By the time you get up, get dressed, leave, and go to work, every step you just made still affected your household,
yep.
your children as well. So now maybe something you hear from one of us about how to deal with the stresses of the everyday balance and the juggling act.
Mm-hmm.
That's parenting. All yeah. of it.
And it's also not just you.
It's not just you.
It's not just yeah. you, which is important because even as men, like that's where the whole vulnerability space is starting to take shape now, because one man said, I need to be vulnerable and somebody else agreed with him.
Yes.
And then three people were open to it.
Yep.
And then 30,000 people were open to it. And now there's a place for it where if we had just maintained status quo, we'd just be walking around here angry. Right. Looking for ways to
be absurd.
To unleash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There.
Unleash.
I agree.
I mean, we're at a good time right now. And I think it was packed enough.
Yeah. Yeah. It was loaded and fruitful. A lot of stuff that I felt like was necessary and needed covering and exposure. Cause that's the other big thing is exposure. Exposing these ideas and these conversations are very, very, it's crucial. There's so many outside sources right now acting up on us as a people, as a society, our economy,
yeah,
our national safety and security.
We're at war. There is a war that is going on that we will likely insert ourselves.
Exactly. So mental stability.
Mm-hmm.
Is very important.
Yeah.
Very important.
This was a good push-through exercise for me, man, because when you texted me, if you said you won't come in, I was going to be like, oh, cool.
Not saying that. We only
way. Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
And that's not an implication that you would, but
No.
It was one of them, like I had some moments today, it was like, man, I don't know if I can figure it out.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's good to have these accountability points on a regular basis to work that muscle memory of, or create the muscle memory of pushing through it with help.
Yes, yes, help, please. Please.
Man, this is episode, I think this is going to be 87. So we're on that hot and heavy pursuit for 100, which is really not that far.
It's not that far.
I'm excited about the milestone. I need to get on, put the foot on the gas about what that's going to look like. You know what I'm saying?
Because that's going to be a big one.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be able to look at that one. You're going to be able to look at the thumbprint, the thumbnail.
Yeah.
For that one and be like,
because I forgot people the first time. Like, not even in, like, number one, I was in my head about who's going to actually show up.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it was like, man, count me in for the next one. I overlooked, like, man, I
got to start the list now.
Yeah.
Start the list now.
Matter of fact, I'm going to get something out next week to those that attended and position it to where if they want to bring a guest, let's talk about that. Because even just doubling the numbers would be fine. You know what I'm saying?
It'll
be fine. Yeah, I mean, it can go. I'm just saying, but everybody, it's not going to be an everybody talk this time. Everybody can contribute in terms of.
Right.
Like that was five episodes.
In one sitting.
Literally.
Like switch. Next.
Literally five.
Next group.
Five episodes. So.
Be diligent. Just ending on a lighter note. Be diligent in your thing because. I'm frustrated right now, man. I have a musical artist that I'm a big fan of, or was at one point. And I don't write people off. I'm not quick to just throw people in the trash. However, there's an artist, man, put some music out. I'm not feeling it. And it's bad because the last one they dropped, I didn't feel that one either. So they say the third time is the charm. So I'm trying to give these people a chance, man. But I need the music industry to do something.
The sad part is you having that feeling now makes you a hater. That's what's whack.
That's what they're going to tell me. Yeah.
That's what's whack about it. Yeah. I've I mean, I literally have not listened since Views. Because he back when we were buying albums, not when it was just streaming.
Yeah.
I got put on the Drake when I was in Iraq, sitting in a trailer, and it was him and Trey Songz had a song, and him and Nicki Minaj had a couple songs, and we played them joints. Like, it kind of got us through the day.
Yeah.
Successful.
Yeah.
I just want to be successful. Trey Songz from the crib, like from Virginia. Well. And every time an album came out, I was like, I know he's going to be rapping. Okay, I know he's going to rap more than 25%. Like, I spent all the money, all of my hope.
Because it's a doo-wopper.
So I'm just cool understanding that I'm not the audience.
It's over.
I've accepted it.
It's over. It's not for me anymore.
Yeah.
I quit.
And that has no impact on him.
I hate on you, brother, but I quit.
Has no impact on him.
So if anybody got suggestions for some good artists, man, I'm looking for good music, like actively right now. My the guy that I host the show with.
Nick Grant is a good one.
We're not locked in musically. Yeah. I like Nick Grant.
I thought we weren't locked in. I mean, what we doing?
I didn't know he was on Nick, but yeah. So I might have to do some visiting, man. But I don't want to drag that out. You know, shout out to all the greats out there. You know, I didn't get to really mush these people in their face about that NFL victory, but I'm not going to do that today. I just want to promote good, positive energy, man.
Love, peace, and happiness.
Yeah, love, peace, and happiness. Shout out to Love, Keisha J.
For sure.
And the wonderful products. And listen, I'm not going to be the whistleblower. I'm excited. I'm excited.
Making a few adjustments, a few tweaks. There'll be some
new gear.
The merch will be more like a capsule now.
Yeah.
You'll be proud to coordinate.
I'm excited.
Without looking corny.
I'm excited. Johns & Co.
Yes, sir.
Johns & Company.
Yes, sir.
DSN. DSN Network.
Yes. There's some.
I want y'all to put some respect on the network portion, and you'll understand what that means in the near future. The network. Yeah.
Give it conservatively before the year is out, but based on the time of this recording, give it a month.
Yeah.
And you'll see. You'll see a true variety of content on the network.
Yes.
If you're on Roku, it was just revamped. So it looks different now. And people ask why Roku. Roku is actually the number one operating system in smart TVs.
Wow.
So more households, I think it's like 73 million, up 20 million over the last couple of years, have the technology. So it's not the box. People are like, nobody got the box. Nobody has Apple boxes really like talking about it.
No.
But it's where the ease of entry into your home
mm-hmm.
is why I'm there.
Yes.
And it was like the blueprint, like see it visually there, how it was displayed and all of that, and then duplicate it wherever else it makes sense. But
yeah,
documentaries coming, some different lighthearted content coming, all meaningful stories, but just different ways of telling them.
Yeah.
There's a show about music. I don't want to say the name because, you know, people.
Correct. Yeah. Don't do it. Yeah, don't do it.
I know my ideas are great. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, but big up to Flexion and the Dynasty. That is really cool to watch that. And I'm waiting for y'all to tell me when the cameras need to come through and catch the story.
It's coming. It's coming real soon, matter of fact, because of the movements that are being made. I'll shoot the slug right here. It's not me. You know. And here's why. No, we're going to get
sis.
This out.
Come on, sis.
No, this is a motivation. Particular. Just, you know, that thing got to look like that thing got to look. So that's all I'm going to say about that. So, I'm ready.
So, sis. I'm not just talking about the commercial aspect. I'm talking about the actual story. So the story needs to be a story.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But yeah, dope conversation, man. I appreciate you, my brother.
Yes, appreciate you, brother.
Think that's gonna do it, man. We appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.
Peace.
They tried to count me out. I'ma gonna count me in.
fill up my bank account. Now I got something to spend.
Nah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.